You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Diego Padres. I am Allison Splitter from MLB.com, and I'm here with the beat writer for the Padres for MLB.com, Corey Brock. And now that the season is over, October is over, and we are a few weeks away from the winter meetings, the focus shifts to the hot stove season, so which is always fun for the fans and not so much for the media, because sometimes it gets a little busier than sometimes during the season. But there's a lot going on with every team, even the teams that did not make the playoffs in 2014. So Corey, let's talk about the Padres a little bit. Talking about their needs heading into the off season, you have a new general manager, and he's had a lot of work to do and just kind of shaping his front office and getting all that in order. And now he is looking toward what to do with the team on the field in 2015. So you had mentioned that offense is really kind of the greatest need right now. And how do you see them sort of shoring that up?
Yeah, Allison, needs aplenty. I think that's that best describes the Padres' mantra going into the offseason. Yeah, I think A.J. Preller, the first-year general manager, hired in August, gave him some time to, you know, evaluate what the Padres had, what they didn't have, give him a chance to make some important hires in the front office, give him a chance to get his feet on the ground, get some policies in place, and sort of get everything lined up for what should be a busy offseason. You don't have to be an ardent or a serious Padre fan to understand that the top of the wish list is going to be offense. This is a team that reached some pretty historic lows in terms of run scoring in 2014. They were shut out 19 times. You know, they still won 77 games, which is a real testament, I think, to their pitching staff, the coaching staff, manager Bud Black, pitching coach Darren Balsley, that this team didn't fall completely flat given how the monumental struggles they really had offensively. So I think that, you know, they're going to go out and they're going to look to make some improvements. And, you know, the Padres certainly a team that's not, hasn't traditionally spent a lot in free agency. So I would expect that they would look to trade and look for improvements through trades and maybe some non-tenders from some other teams and look for some gems that way. But I would think that the trade market where would be the area that A.J. Preller would probably look to improve this team first and foremost.
And so specifically, at what positions do you think that there needs to be some upgrades?
Yeah, I think the corner infield spots, first and third base, you know, which are traditional power spots. The Padres didn't get a whole lot of production out of those spots last season. They needed to make a determination on what they're going to get from Everett Cabrera at shortstop last year. And, you know, he was an all-star in 2013, you know, really struggled last year, had some injury issues. His 272 on base percentage doesn't cut it at the top of the order or really even the bottom of the order. So you need to decide if he's going to be a part of your mix moving forward. They have four outfielders under contract for next year, but you know, I don't know if all four fit in their plans. Is Carlos Quinn, is he going to be healthy? What are you going to get from him? So there's a lot of question marks. They do have some trade assets. You know, ideally, trading an asset to gain an asset isn't a great scenario, but I think that's the Padres. That's their reality at this point. They have some pitching they could part with. Andrew Cashner could be a guy they moved. Tyson Ross had a big year. He was an all-star. I think he would command the biggest return in a deal. So there's some interesting decisions awaiting A.J. Preller. And here's the other thing, Allison, that we don't know. You know, at least with, you know, like Josh Burns and, you know, his predecessor, Jed Hoyer, but more or less, you know, Kevin Towers before that, you have some sort of sample size in terms of trade history, or you understand exactly how they operate. We have no idea what A.J. Preller wants to do here, and he's been very tight-lipped. Certainly he's made a mark internationally, and I know he's been scouring the earth, and that's I'm not being glib there. I mean, they've really been traveling the globe here looking for some talent on the international market, whether that be in the Pacific Rim, Latin America, or elsewhere. So, you know, there could be some moves made there. So it's going to be interesting to see how he goes about trying to improve this team, address some big needs in his first offseason.
So when you look at the Padres, I mean, of course, you know, everyone has optimism and hope going into spring training and everybody wants to be a contender. But, I mean, you say that, yeah, there is trade bait on the major league level, but it's sometimes, you know, odd to trade something, like you said, trade major league talent to get major league talent. I mean, are they sort of like, I mean, I guess every team kind of wants to fit that model of developing their own talent. I mean, and the Padres are certainly in a situation where they need to. I mean, that's how they're going. If they're going to have a winning formula, it's going to have to come from within, because the finances dictate that for most of the teams. When do you see them? I mean, you know the farm system better than anybody. I mean, do you see something coming together in a few years? Like, I mean, realistically, like, how long would it take for the Padres to really be contenders?
Yeah, they have some interesting pieces on the way. They have some pitching down on the farm. They have a very strong defensive-minded catcher who had a rough year in the Texas League, which is a pitcher's league anyway. Austin Hedges, who earned rave reviews from Brad Ausmus, who worked in the Padres front office before taking a job with the managing job with the Tigers. He's still young. I think, you know, this is a guy that's going to catch in the big leagues for a long time. We'll have to see what his offense is going to be. And then the guy that's really had a big fall, Allison, in the Arizona Fall League, Hunter Renfroe, the first-round draft pick from a couple of years ago. And I would encourage fans to go to Padres.com and dig up the video of him hitting this tape-measure home run that I think landed in New Mexico the other day. Just an absolute bomb he hit in a game. And this is a guy that maybe, you know, it's got this high upside power, has a big arm, can run pretty well. You know, and this is an organization that, is, you know, for whatever reason has had trouble drafting and developing and getting impact players to the big leagues in the last decade or so. They've done a good job of getting some players to the big leagues, but in terms of impact players, they've really struggled there, and that's shown when you look at their major league roster. And I think that gets overlooked a little bit, but I think this could be a guy that fans can maybe finally wrap their arms around as a guy, you know, that could make some waves once he gets to the big leagues. Now, he's maybe a year or two away, but he's put on a very big show in the Arizona Fall League. I think he's gotten on a lot of people's radar. So, yeah, there's some help coming. There's some help on the way. And as you know, Allison, these guys in the minor leagues, these prospects, serve many, many purposes for you. They can not only help you at the big league level, that's ideal, but they could also serve as pieces that you can move in deals to get you something in return. The Padres haven't had that, so they've always kind of been working from a deficit in that regard, but it's starting to get better.
Exactly, and that's the thing that you have to keep kind of reminding fans about, is that it doesn't, like, people are so worried about, oh my God, if this guy can play second base, but they already have this guy coming to the system that can play second base. And it's like, no, you never can have too much depth, and so much of that depth is used to strengthen your major league roster through trades. And I also just think that, I mean, when it comes to some of these teams that that need to develop, like you say, that they haven't really, like, drafted and developed an impact player in so long. And you know, I heard a lot of, like, small market teams sort of complaining about how the new draft rules are set up, that they feel like they're at a little bit of a disadvantage because that's where they would just overspend. They couldn't overspend in free agency, but they could overspend on draft picks. And at the same time, I feel like, and I mean, I do come at this from an Astros perspective where, you know, their unsignable section on draft day was enormous. And I just felt like, I feel like with the new draft rules in place, that there just aren't that many unsignable because there's just a specific amount that you can spend. And I kind of feel like teams like the Padres might, over time, like in 10 more years, we may look back and say, well, they've drafted some pretty good impact players because they just, the funding just seemed to be a little more equal. Or do you see where I'm coming from, or do you think that's kind of skewed?
No, I think especially with the way the new system's set up now, I think it's meant to kind of level the playing field, for lack of a better term. And I think teams like the Padres and teams, you know, that traditionally the lower market teams can make some headway there in the draft. So you have the system in place and these rules in place. However, it's still incumbent upon you as an organization, and you and as your baseball operations staff and your scouts and your cross checkers, to still put in the time and do the work and get to know these players and, you know, really beat the bushes and find the right ones and draft them and then hand them over to your player development staff. It's such an interesting and it's such a long, winding road for these guys, Allison. You know, like what do they tell you, like with these high school kids, you have to give them 5 years before you truly understand what you have in them. And you know, college kids certainly don't need that much time. And it's so much different than the, you know, the other professional sports drafts. It's, you know, and I could see where people maybe get a little impatient with it, and you're trying to project talent. I find the whole process to be completely fascinating. I love the draft. I think it's great. You know, you're kind of wishing on a star a little bit with some of these guys, but I think that's kind of the fun part. And the guys who are really good at it, man, those are the guys that stay employed for a long time and make a really good living doing it. But it's a difficult thing trying to project talent. What this skinny 18-year-old is going to be when he's 23, 24 years old. And I mean, that's why we see some of these guys slip so far, you know, 29th round draft pick. Or, you know, the Padres had this kid, Brad Brock, who's now a reliever with the Orioles. Maybe saw him in the AL playoffs there. You know, he was in the 40th round, and that wasn't a draft and follow. You know, this was just a guy that pitched at like a small D1 school in upstate New York, and you know, they liked his arm. You know, they weren't sure what was going to become of him, but he was a 40th round draft pick. Let's take a chance on him. Maybe he could evolve into something. Well, he did. He became a big leaguer. And at what expense? I mean, it probably cost you a bus ticket, you know? So, I don't know. I could talk about the draft all day, Allison, but I think the system is good. I think it's fair, but it's still up to these teams to make something of it.
And the fact that only 5% of any guy drafted gets to the big leagues is just a shocking percentage, but that's the way it works in our game. I saw that the Padres may have about upwards of $30 million owed to players that are arbitration eligible, assuming that they would just have, you know, a similar roster coming back. Is that a concern? Is that, do you see that as a large number, a workable number? Does that fit the budget?
Yeah, I think just kind of the way with service time and how it all kind of shook out, I think there's some guys in line for some decent raises, in particular on the pitching side. Ian Kennedy, who had a very nice year, he's gonna make, you know, an upwards of $10 million. And I think the number I saw the Major League Baseball trade rumors was projecting as a group maybe $30 million with the entire group. So the Padres have their work cut out for them in terms of I don't think they'll go to our, you know, they teams hate going to arbitration with guys. It's such a, you know, such an ugly process, or potentially ugly process, I should say, when you're trying to sit across the table from a guy and haggle about his shortcomings, and then the next day you're out there in spring training patting him on the back and saying, hey, no hard feelings, go get him. So it's, I think it's kind of normal. And I think in some cases, you know, I think like with Tyson Ross, with Andrew Kashner and Ian Kennedy, all the guys that are arbitration eligible and due for some raises, you know, I think they're well-deserved raises. First of all, three of those guys pitched well last year. Those three guys, not all of them, but I think the potential for some contract extensions, maybe with one of them, maybe with two of them. We'll have to see moving forward for this team to maybe lock up one of those guys. Ross would seem to be a likely candidate, especially with the upside that he has and the improvements he's made since they traded for him a couple of years ago from the A's, and like I said, developed into an all-star this year. And in my mind, maybe one of the best pitchers in the National League, kind of flew under the radar a little bit. And the win-loss record's a little deceiving, you know, and we really shouldn't look at that anyway in terms of performance, because so many other factors determine that. But he was dominant this year. And Andrew Kashner, the pride of Conroe, Texas, I think when he's been healthy, he's been very dominating as well. So, it'll be interesting to see where that final figure ends up. But the Padres roughly guys on their roster right now about $41 million, and then you throw in the projected 30 or so million, that gets you to about 70. Payroll last year was about 90. I would expect that goes up a little bit. That's just my own guess. So there's some room there. We'll see what they do with it, though.
Amazing, and a $90 million payroll can be toward the bottom of the league, but that is the world we live in. So, Corey, thank you very much. I think we'll be checking in with you this off-season, so thanks for your time. We'll be talking to you soon.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.